Hello again, everyone. This is recording for evening service on the Lord's Day, 26th of April. I was saying in the introduction to the earlier service about the soft toys that have wonderfully appeared in the pews, and in between services I was doing a closer inspection, and I see that they have their Bible opened at Exodus chapter 20, so they were all in the right place for the Ten Commandments. I haven't changed the Bible page for this service. Now, I'm going to begin evening service reading some verses from our opening psalm to sing, and it is Psalm number 88. Psalm 88, which is probably the most grim of all the psalms in the Bible. You wouldn't want to exchange your circumstances for those of the person who wrote this psalm. I'm going to read the stanzas marked 4 and 5, and then also 9 to 12. And some of us are experiencing being shut in these times. Some have to be shut in and stay away from others because of health matters. And the writer of this psalm speaks about his experience of being shut in, reading verses 4 and 5 and then 9 to 12. In the lowest pit you've laid me, in the darkness of the deep. Heavy lies your wrath upon me, all your waves on me you heap. You, my closest friends, have taken and removed them far from me. I've become repulsive to them. I'm shut in, no longer free. And verse 9, but I've cried to you for help, O Lord. I each morning to you pray. Why, O Lord, do you reject me, and why turn your face away? From my youth I've been afflicted. I've been always close to death. From your terrors I have suffered, and am now in deep distress. Over me has raged your anger, and your terrors silenced me. All day long they round me gather. They engulfed me like the sea. You have taken my companions, those who loved me, dearest friends. Far from me you have removed them. Into darkness did them send. And these words describe truly sad and troubling life experiences. And there are many of God's people throughout the world who are going through very, very hard life circumstances. And what we have to face is probably very mild compared to what others are facing and maybe have been facing for a long time. Well, if you're singing these verses, you can pause the recording, and then I will speak to God in prayer. Lord, our gracious God, we praise you that each day we know that you're the God who is watching over us. And we thank you, Lord, that often we can have a sense that you have answered our prayers. We thank you, Lord, that often we have many things that we could give you thanks for. We praise you for your great goodness towards us. And, Lord, we pray that you will help us to see how blessed we are. We thank you for even the opportunity to worship you. We praise you, Lord, that these things are not denied to us completely. We think of people in other lands whose government doesn't allow them to gather together at all at any time. And Lord, we pray that you help us to be able to enter more into the kind of things that other people experience. Help us, O Lord, to treasure and value those freedoms that we have had, and we pray that you will give us a greater spirit of thankfulness, O Lord, even in these times of being deprived. We ask now for your help in this time of worship. We pray that you'll bless to us your word. Help us as we think of what you have done in times past and the things that people had to encounter in various times recorded in the scriptures. We pray, Lord, that you will use your word for our good and direct our thoughts, Lord, as you see best. Work in us by your spirit and help us to delight in you. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Now I want to read from God's word. It's in the Old Testament, the book of Jeremiah, and reading from the first chapter of Jeremiah, reading the whole of the first chapter. Jeremiah, I read recently, is the book of the Bible that has the most number of words in it. In that sense, it is the longest book of the Bible. And I'm just going to read the first chapter of Jeremiah, but I'll be referring to things that are found in other chapters of this book of God's word. So Jeremiah chapter 1, and reading the whole chapter, this is God's word. The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests who were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, until the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, until the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the 5th month. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations." Then said I, "Ah, Lord, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say, 'I am a youth,' for you shall go to all to whom I send you. And whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord." Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, "Behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down, to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, 'Jeremiah, what do you see?' And I said, 'I see a branch of an almond tree.' Then the Lord said to me, 'You have seen well, for I am ready to perform my word.' And the word of the Lord came to me the second time, saying, 'What do you see?' And I said, 'I see a boiling pot, and it is facing away from the north.' Then the Lord said to me, 'Out of the north, calamity shall break forth on all the inhabitants of the land. For behold, I am calling all the families of the kingdoms of the north, says the Lord. They shall come, and each one set his throne at the entrance of the gates of Jerusalem, against all its walls all around, and against all the cities of Judah. I will utter my judgments against them concerning all their wickedness, because they have forsaken me, burned incense to other gods, and worshipped the works of their own hands. Therefore, prepare yourself and arise and speak to them all that I command you. Do not be dismayed before their faces, lest I dismay you before them. For behold, I have made you this day a fortified city and an iron pillar and bronze walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against its princes, against its priests, and against the people of the land. They will fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you. For I am with you, says the Lord, to deliver you. And so reads God's own true word. When times are tough, and when we face things in life that we would really rather not be facing, one of the things that we sometimes resort to is reflecting on the fact that there are other people who are facing much worse things. And we can apply that same kind of thinking to the Scriptures. And we can find in the Scriptures those who have had to live through the very hardest of times. And we wouldn't want to exchange places with them at all. And I think there are not many that fit that description better than the Old Testament prophet Jeremiah. I think all of us would say to him, rather you than me. And so tonight, that's what I want to think about. Rather you than me. And reflect on the life and times of Jeremiah the prophet. If you ever find yourself lapsing into self-pity, well then read Jeremiah and Lamentations, which was written by Jeremiah. See what this man of God had to go through in his life, and you'll see your own life in a very different light. First of all, I want to speak about Jeremiah, foreknown and called. We've read the first chapter of the book of Jeremiah, and this chapter tells us of how Jeremiah was called to be a prophet of God. He didn't know that this was to be his life's work, but God knew. And in verse 5, God tells him so. He says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. And God speaks to Jeremiah there. He indicates how God had planned his life out for him, that God knew Jeremiah in advance, that he had set him apart for a special work. And he speaks of Jeremiah even before he was in his mother's womb, that the Lord knew him. The Lord had set him apart. And when Jeremiah hears this, it's something that he feels totally inadequate for this task and calling. But God reassures him in verse 8, and he says, do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. And the message that God would have for Jeremiah to bring to God's people would be a message of coming judgment. God was going to send invaders into the land of Judah. The invaders were going to come from the north. And verse 16 tells us why. God says there that it was due to all their wickedness, the wickedness of Judah, because they have forsaken me. They have burned incense to other gods and worshipped the works of their own hands. Jeremiah's message would be a message of coming judgment. And no one would welcome that message. No one would want to hear and accept that message. And Jeremiah would have to say things that were very unpopular. He would have to speak out against the kings of Judah, verse 18, against its princes, against its priests, and against the people of the land. And God told him what to expect when he did that. Verse 19, God said, "They will fight against you." But he gave the reassurance, "They shall not prevail against you." For God says, "For I am with you, says the Lord, to deliver you." And so Jeremiah was told what to expect. He was told clearly how things were going to go. Jeremiah had a hard, hard calling. But God promised that he would strengthen and sustain Jeremiah. And although everyone would be fighting against him, they wouldn't prevail against him. And God would be with him. And so we see how Jeremiah was foreknown and he was called. The second place I want to speak about Jeremiah despised and rejected. From the first chapter, it sounds like Jeremiah is going to have a hard task. It's a hard life that he is being called to. And that's exactly how it worked out. His life began during the terrible days, the grim days of King Manasseh, a truly evil king. His successor, his son Amon, reigned for a very short time, and he was much the same as his father. But then things took a turn for the better, and the young king Josiah came to the throne. And Josiah was a godly, reforming king. And it was during the reign of King Josiah that Jeremiah was called to be a prophet. Verse 2 that we read says that it was in the 13th year of his reign. That was around 626 BC. Josiah was there as king until 609 BC. And then he was killed in battle. And when Josiah was killed in battle, the work of Jeremiah became harder still. It was a difficult work during the years of Josiah as king, but it became harder still. In 2 Chronicles 35, we're told about the death of Josiah, and it says that all Judah and Jerusalem mourned for Josiah. Jeremiah also lamented for Josiah. Never again would Jeremiah serve under a king who had a heart for God. Never again would he serve under a king who had a desire to see God's will done on earth. Jeremiah would serve under four other kings, none of them remotely like King Josiah. The first was called Jehoahaz, or Shalom, and he reigned for only 3 months before the king of Egypt took him away in chains, and the Egyptian king replaced him with another son of Josiah. His name was Eliakim, but he was given the name, the throne name of Jehoiakim. And so Jeremiah served as a prophet, first of all in the days of Josiah, then very briefly in the days of Jehoahaz, and then under King Jehoiakim. Jehoiakim reigned for 11 years, from around 609 BC to 598. And during the years of his reign, there was a very politically significant battle that took place. It was the Battle of Carchemish in 605 BC. And in that battle, Nebuchadnezzar, the king of the Babylonians or the Chaldeans, he defeated the Egyptians. And that was the beginning of Babylon being the new dominant power of the day, and for many more decades, it would be the Babylonians that would be the ones that were the dominant nation. Now, Jeremiah lived through those times of a changing political situation for the people of Judah. And Jeremiah had to proclaim God's message. And God's message was that it was God himself who was raising up the Babylonians, and he was raising them up, and they were going to come against the land of Judah, and God's people were going to be taken off into captivity in Babylon, and the captivity was going to last for 70 years. Nobody wanted to hear that, but that was the message, and that was the truth. And King Jehoiakim despised Jeremiah and the things that Jeremiah was saying. On one occasion recorded in Jeremiah chapter 36, we're told how the king was being read a scroll. And in this scroll were written all the words, all the prophetic words of Jeremiah. And each time a few lines had been read, the king had those lines cut off the bottom of the scroll, and he would take that and he would throw it in the fire. And he did that until he had burnt the whole thing. That's what he thought of Jeremiah and his words. But Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came and besieged Jerusalem in 605 BC. And some people were taken away captive. Among them was Daniel. And then again, Nebuchadnezzar came in 598 or 597 BC. He came at the end of Jehoiakim's reign. And after Jehoiakim, then it was his son that was next to be in charge. He had a very similar name. He was called Jehoiachin. And he ruled for only 3 months. He surrendered to King Nebuchadnezzar, and he was taken into exile in 597 BC, along with many others, and included among those who were taken away captive in that second wave of captivity was the prophet Ezekiel. So Daniel went in 605 BC, Ezekiel went in 597 BC. Jeremiah was still there in Jerusalem. After Jehoiachin was taken away, his uncle Mattaniah was made king, but he was given the name Zedekiah. And so Zedekiah was the last king under whom Jeremiah served. Zedekiah reigned for 11 years. He was the last king of Judah, and he was a weak ruler. He was a man who couldn't make his mind up one way or another what to do. Often he paid no attention to what Jeremiah had to say, and at other times he wanted to hear what Jeremiah had to say. But in chapter 37, verse 2, it says that neither he nor his servants nor the people of the land gave heed to the words of the Lord which he spoke by the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah was speaking, and no one was giving any heed to what Jeremiah was saying. Jeremiah was telling them what was going to happen. He was telling them the truth. He was telling them how they should interpret the things that were happening in the world before their eyes, but they didn't want to hear that message. They just wanted relief from the situation. Now, later in chapter 37, we're told how Jeremiah was imprisoned in a dungeon for many days. Horrible experience. But then in the next chapter, it gets even worse. for Jeremiah. He is accused of being a traitor, and he is thrown into another dungeon. This one was more like a cistern. And we're told that at the bottom of it, there was no water, but there was mire. And Jeremiah sank in the mire. And all of that was done with the intention of silencing Jeremiah, so that nobody would have to listen to the things that he was saying. But Jeremiah was rescued from that cistern by a servant called Ebed-Melech. And the situation in Jerusalem grew more and more grim. Nebuchadnezzar, his forces were surrounding Jerusalem. It was a terrible time of siege. It was a time of starvation. There was no supplies getting in, and what was there within the city was running out. And we're told how terrible things were happening in the city of Jerusalem. Book of Lamentations describes something of what life was like in those days. They were days of lockdown, but these were days of deadly lockdown. And King Zedekiah, in the midst of it all, sent for Jeremiah. And he asked Jeremiah what the word was from the Lord. Chapter 38, verses 17 and 18, we're told, "Then Jeremiah said to Zedekiah, 'Thus says the Lord, the God of hosts, the God of Israel, if you surely surrender to the king of Babylon's princes, then your soul shall live. This city shall not be burned with fire, and you and your house shall live. But if you do not surrender to the king of Babylon's princes, then this city shall be given into the hands of the Chaldeans. They shall burn it with fire, and you shall not escape from their hand.'" Now that was a message that was stark, it was clear, and it was compelling. Zedekiah had to surrender, or all these disasters would come upon him. They would come upon his family, upon his people, and upon his city. And of course, Zedekiah didn't surrender. He tried to escape. And the word of the Lord through Jeremiah the prophet proved to be true. And Jerusalem fell to the Babylonians. There was no escape for Zedekiah. And that was in the year 586 BC. Jerusalem was left in ruins. Jeremiah was at first taken in chains with many other captives. But then Jeremiah was set free. And Jeremiah was given the choice. He was given the choice of either going to Babylon, where he would be well looked after, or he could remain in the ruins of the town of Mizpah in Judah, which was where he had got to at that stage. What was Jeremiah going to do? Well, interestingly, earlier on, recorded in Jeremiah 24, the Lord had shown Jeremiah two baskets of figs. And one basket was full of very good figs, and the other basket was full of very bad figs. And God had told Jeremiah that the very good figs were those who were taken away captive from Jerusalem to Babylon. And God said of those people that had already been taken away captive, he said, "They shall be my people, and I will be their God. And God had told them that the bad figs, they were the people that would remain behind. And God said he would send the sword, the famine, and the pestilence among them. And Jeremiah has a choice to make. Does he go with the people to Babylon, the people who are going to be blessed of God, or does he stay behind with the rabble who are going to be under the curse of God? He has a choice to make, and Jeremiah chose to remain where he was. He chose to remain with those who were still in Judah. He chose to remain with those who were the very bad figs, rather than be among the very good figs. Jeremiah chose to be numbered with the transgressors. Now, there had to be some arrangement made for those who remained in Judah. And the Babylonians set a man called Gedaliah in charge of those who were left behind. And he was in charge there in Mizpah, and Jeremiah was there with him. But it wasn't long before Gedaliah was murdered. And he was the man that had been appointed by the Babylonians. And now the people were afraid that they'd all be in huge trouble with the Babylonians. And so they consulted Jeremiah as to what they should do. And they promised Jeremiah, they promised him that whatever message he would bring to them from the Lord, that's exactly what they would do. And in Jeremiah 42, we're told how Jeremiah had sought the Lord's face and how after 10 days, God spoke clearly to Jeremiah. God told Jeremiah that if the people remained in the land of Judah, God would be merciful to them. But if instead they decided to flee to the land of Egypt and hoped that they would find refuge there, God said they would die by the sword, by famine, and by pestilence. And the message was clear. Stay here and God will be merciful. Flee to Egypt and it will be disaster. And they said, whatever the Lord says, we will do. But they didn't like what the Lord said, so they didn't do it. And they decided, we're going to flee to Egypt. And they took Jeremiah with them. And that's the last thing we're told about Jeremiah. He was taken to Egypt. We have a prophecy that he utters in the land of Egypt, in which he is still proclaiming that the Lord is coming against the Egyptians, and this is not a place of refuge for the people of God. Now, how and when Jeremiah died is not known for sure. Jewish tradition has it that he was put to death in Egypt by his own people, by stoning. We don't know for sure that that's what happened. Amazingly, there is another tradition that he somehow made it to Ireland, and Jeremiah the prophet is associated in legend with Devonish Island. And if you're ever down in that part of the world and going for a boat trip on the Fermanagh Lakes and you get to go to Devonish Island, the commentator will tell you about the prophet Jeremiah being buried there. I don't think that's very likely at all. For 40 years, Jeremiah brought the word of the Lord to kings, to prophets, to priests, and to people. And most of the time, no one paid any heed. His work was not a work of persuading. His work was a work of testifying. He spoke the truth, but nobody wanted the truth. People wanted to believe what suited them, and they rejected the words of Jeremiah again and again and again. And that was his life, 40 years as a prophet, and no one would heed what he had to say. Jeremiah only had one life, and this was it. And so, surely we would say, rather you than me. Here's a man, and he knew what a hard life was. He was despised, and he was rejected again and again and again. And the Lord told him that's the way it would be. And the Lord told him they will fight against you. And the Lord told him, but they shall not prevail against you. Final thing I want to speak about is about another Jeremiah. I want to remind you of the mention that Jeremiah gets in the New Testament. It's in Matthew 16, verses 13 and 14. It says there, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. The life of the Lord Jesus Christ reminded people of Jeremiah. Why might that have been? Well, surely a big part of it must have been that, like Jeremiah, the Lord Jesus had to press on in his work in the midst of rejection and opposition. In Jeremiah chapter 11, we read of how Jeremiah was rejected by the people of his own hometown. So it was with the Lord Jesus. Jeremiah was opposed by kings and princes, by prophets and priests, and the Lord Jesus was opposed and persecuted by the civil and religious rulers of his day. Jeremiah stuck to his task in spite of all the opposition that was against him, and so did the Lord Jesus. He was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Jeremiah was a man of sorrows, and so was the Lord Jesus. Jeremiah wept over Jerusalem, and so did the Lord Jesus. Jeremiah showed people their sin, but the Lord Jesus saves people from their sin. Jeremiah was taken away from home by his own people, but Jesus takes his own people home to be with him. Jeremiah was faithful in his day, but the Lord Jesus is faithful every day. In the book of Lamentations, in chapter 3, Jeremiah says, great is your faithfulness. Jeremiah himself was a faithful prophet of God. He spoke those words that God gave him to speak. There were words that people didn't want to hear. And people today don't want to hear the word of the Lord. People don't want to hear anything about there being the possibility of God being active in the things that are happening across the face of the earth. Don't want to hear it. People didn't want to hear what Jeremiah had to say. But Jeremiah was speaking the truth. And he kept on speaking the truth. And God gave him the strength to keep on doing that with no encouragements. Our God is able to give strength to his people to face things that we could never imagine that we could cope in those situations. Jeremiah, when he was called to this work, he thought, surely not. I could never do that. But God put an iron into that man. He gave him an inner strength. And Jeremiah was able to keep on going, keep on speaking the truth to king after king. And he had to listen to all the false prophets saying, no, 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 this captivity will only last a couple of years. Jeremiah says 70 years has been appointed. And nobody wanted to hear what Jeremiah had to say, but he continued to proclaim the truth. So let us remember this great man of God. He's not a great man of God because he had great success. He's not a great man of God because thousands were brought by him to be true followers of the Lord. He didn't have that experience, but he was a great man of God. And God sometimes has hard, hard things for people to face in life. But God can enable us to live through those things and to stand tall in the midst of those things. Look to Jeremiah and see in him someone who truly had a hard life. But God was with him in the midst of it all. And let us take heart from that, and let us believe that the Lord will not desert us in our days of trouble, but that he will be with us. And although things will be difficult, things will not prevail against us. Amen. Now we speak to God in prayer. Father in heaven, we praise you for the scriptures that you've given to us. And we thank you for all those hard times for the people of God that are recorded in the scriptures. And we pray that we will take these things and find comfort in them. We pray, Lord, today for your people throughout the world who are experiencing hard times. We pray for those who are persecuted for their faith. And we pray, Lord, that you will strengthen their hearts, that you will strengthen their commitment to you and their love for you. We pray that they will see clearly that what they have is worth everything. And we pray, Lord, that they will refuse to turn against you. But, O Lord, we pray that they would be faithful and loyal to you, and you would give all the courage that's needed for the stands that people have to take. We pray, Lord, for those who are facing hard times because of their health situation. Pray for those who have the coronavirus. We pray for those who are very ill with it. Help them, O Lord, as those who are even struggling for breath. We pray, Lord, for others who who have health issues and where their treatment is interrupted because of the change in the health service arrangements. Lord, we pray that you will be close to those who are in those kind of situations, and that you will help them in their hard times. We pray for those, Lord, who have lost their job or for whom there seems to be little prospect of their present work continuing. And we pray that you will help them, O Lord, in thinking things through. Give wisdom in choices that have to be made. And we pray, O Lord, that you will provide for your people in every situation. We pray, Lord, for those who are facing hard times because of bereavement. We pray for your comfort, O Lord, for the brokenhearted. We pray for your strength to face life when people just don't feel like doing anything. We pray for those who are facing hard times through broken relationships, where there is pain in people's hearts because of how things have worked out. And we pray, O God, for your comfort and your help for those situations. We pray for those whose hearts are full of fear because of all the uncertainties of the times that we're in. And we pray, O God, for those who struggle to cope with times like this. We pray for those for whom things being regular and reliable and routine are just what they lean upon and depend upon. And we pray for them, O Lord, and all the difficulty it is for them when they just don't know how things are going to be from one day to another. Lord, we pray for your help for those who struggle with all sorts of different situations. We thank you for the encouragement we can draw from the life of Jeremiah, for how, O Lord, you were able to strengthen him, that he didn't give up and abandon his task and just say, well, if you're not going to listen, I'm not going to go on with this. We praise you, Lord, for how he was there year after year after year for 40 years proclaiming a message that people didn't want to hear. But it was your message, and we praise you, Lord, that you were able to give that man that strength. We thank you for our Lord Jesus. We praise you for him. We thank you, Lord, that he didn't give in to the demands of those around him. We thank you that he didn't give up whenever he was rejected by the religious leaders of his day. We praise you that our Lord knew what it was to be a man of sorrows. Thank you for all the hard and painful things that he experienced. And we praise you that he is one who can sympathize with us in all the hurt that we feel and encounter in life. And Lord, we pray that you help us to find comfort and strength in him. Help us to take our refuge in him, to cast our cares upon him. And we pray that we will know that peace that he is able to give. We give thanks, Lord, for your word. We thank you for how the scriptures can give us a hope, and that even the hard things and hard times that your people went through in the past can be a help to us, O Lord, in what we face in these times. We pray that you'll help us each day to look to you, to believe that in your word we will find the truth. Help us to believe the things that we read in the scriptures, and we pray that you'll enable us, O Lord, to choose to go your ways and to speak your truth and to be loyal and faithful to you. Forgive us our sins, O Lord. Forgive us when we give up too easily. Forgive us, O Lord, when we're silent, when we shouldn't be silent. And help us, O Lord, to be your willing servants. We ask all in Jesus' name. Amen. The final psalm that I've chosen for this service is part of Psalm number 40. Psalm 40. And the stanzas marked 9 to 14. Psalm 40, stanzas 9 through to 14. And these are the words. Within the congregation great, I righteousness did preach. You know, O Lord, indeed, that I will not refrain my speech. I never have within my heart concealed your righteousness. I, your salvation, have declared and shown your faithfulness. Jeremiah spoke the word that the Lord gave to him. He told the people what would be the way that would be the way of blessing. And that wasn't the way they wanted to go. But he was faithful in declaring the message. And then in stanza 11, "Your mercy great, your steadfast love I ever have revealed, and from the congregation great your truth have not concealed. O Lord, you will not then withhold your tender love from me. Your loving kindness and your love protect me constantly. For countless evils hem me in. My sins take hold of me. They press on me from every side so much I cannot see. They're more than hairs upon my head. My heart fails utterly. Be pleased to rescue me, O Lord. Make haste, O Lord, help me." And how many times Jeremiah must have cried out to the Lord to help him. And the Lord was his helper in the midst of a very hard calling. And the Lord continues to be the helper of his people. So these are the verses, stanza 9 through to 14. And so if you're singing those verses at home, you can pause the recording, and then afterwards I'll close the service in the benediction. Now receive the blessing of Almighty God. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Saviour, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.